Chapter 11 Ending Up in the Desert. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:8-10. After the Louisiana State football game, we went to Outback Steakhouse for dinner. A whole crowd of us, my parents and brothers and sisters, and a whole group of friends who had come in for the game from all directions. Since it had been a day in which I accounted for all three of our touchdowns, my passing stats for the game were 2 for 2 for 36 yards and 2 touchdowns, I found myself to be pretty popular, at least at our table. What my parents remember most about that scene that day was the time I took with a really sweet but shy little boy in the middle of the throng of well-wishing Gator family and fans. My parents have learned not to be surprised when I do something like that. I've always got time for little kids, the kind of time I remember many others, like Uncle Dick, taking with me when I was growing up. Kids can be fragile and are so impressionable. They need lots of encouragement to help them see their potential. And besides that, they're fun to be around. At times, I find I can be a lot more myself around them. A kid. My dad reinforced that lesson that night, telling me, "You were on the game day set after the game, and they showed everyone in the country your jump pass, but your time with that little guy was the best play of the day." I suppose it could have been the pressure of the Auburn week and preparing for our game with them at their place on the plains, but if anything, we took Auburn too lightly. They weren't as good that year as their usual Auburn teams. The rest of the practice week was uneventful and pretty much the same as any week of preparation for an SEC game. I was really looking forward to the game in Auburn. It was great being at Auburn. I loved their grass, their early arriving fans, guys wearing ties to the games but still going crazy. I'm told the atmosphere was always electric for Florida games. That day was no exception. My first play of the game, I ran a counter right and took it in for the score. I also learned a painful lesson on that play. As I scored, I eased up a bit, even though I saw a guy coming at me from the side. I knew he wouldn't be able to keep me out. He hit my shoulder just as I crossed the goal line, and the hit sprained my shoulder. It was a relatively mild sprain, but it was irritating because I had brought it on by easing up. The game went back and forth between us, and I only played on about 3 snaps, one of which was in the backfield simply as a decoy with Chris as the quarterback. It was the fewest number of plays I played in a game all year, which was a little bit frustrating, watching from the sidelines and feeling that I could help the team more. What made it worse was that we did not play well, and as a result, we ended up losing to a team that we shouldn't have, 27-17. And, to add insult to injury, on that one play, I'd hurt my right shoulder, which ended up nagging me throughout the rest of the year. After the game, a reporter asked me how I would handle the loss. I gave them the verse that my parents had reminded us of ever since we were children, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 6-1, gimpy shoulder, and back searching as a team for that momentum again. We had a bye that week, which gave us a chance to work on fundamentals. Also, during the bye, I had a little more downtime than I'd had recently and had a chance to catch up with some friends. Right before school started, I was the celebrity judge of a talent show along with Matt LaPorta, a UF baseball player. I think Coach Meyer's wife Shelley may have been one too. This one girl, in addition to being really attractive, was talented and bright. Everything she did was awesome, and she had a hysterical sense of humor. So at the end of the night, I gave her a perfect score. Apparently, I wasn't the only one. Matt asked her out that night before I could even think about it, but she wasn't interested. I didn't give her another thought. The following week, Butchie Rowley, a good friend and fellow teammate, invited me to go to a movie with him and a girl he knew from high school. He said he was hoping to ask her out on a date following this movie, and that maybe I'd want to go in case she didn't seem interested. Then the night wouldn't be so awkward for them. Butchie is a guy who shares my principles of how I think Christ wants us to relate to women, with respect, first and foremost, and he was trying to go about it the right way. Still, I declined, thinking that the night sounded plenty awkward for me in case the two of them hit it off. He insisted, and I found myself as the third wheel as we went to pick her up. It was, of course, the girl from the pageant, and by the end of the evening, it was clear that she and Butchie would remain friends, but she and I clicked. We went out for a couple of weeks, but it never got serious. My family tells me that I'm the pickiest person they've ever met, and that may be true. Between my mom and my sisters, who have such amazing character qualities, it's a tough standard for anyone else to meet. Plus, I've not yet been willing to devote time to make a relationship work. Meanwhile, the team tried to get refocused and headed to Jacksonville for our sixth SEC game in a row. I, of course, was looking forward to that week because it was the Florida-Georgia game. That was enough in and of itself, but Jacksonville was also my hometown, and my parents' first date was to the Florida-Georgia game. I had grown up going to that game every year, so I was excited to finally play in it, but nowhere near as excited as my dad was. He grew up in an era in which Georgia was the big rival, and he spoke about this game much in the same way that I've heard Coach Steve Spurrier was always focused on beating Georgia when he was coaching the Gators. Quite honestly, we were beating Georgia pretty regularly when I was growing up, so they weren't nearly the arch rival for my generation that Florida State became. I remember going to Florida-Georgia games in the pouring rain and coming out of most of them pretty happy. Of course, there were a few of them that ended up very sad, like the year when Georgia quarterback Quincy Carter beat us. Several times we had a Pop Warner game beforehand, and we'd change in the car on the way to the Florida-Georgia game. As soon as the game was over, we'd head home where my brothers and I would play in the backyard, mimicking the players we had just watched during the game. My brother-in-law, Joey, went to Georgia. In fact, his entire family are Bulldogs, but get this, most of the people at the church his dad pastors agreed to become Gator fans during the 4 years I played at Florida. I was ready. I went into the game on the first drive and had a really good run on a 97Q power call, a quarterback run up the middle. I played on and off for the rest of the game, but the worst part of the game for me came in the second half when I was stood straight up on a tackle by a defender and then got stripped of the ball by another player. My fumble was recovered by Georgia on our own 10-yard line, and they scored a few plays later to cut our lead to 7. I was mad at myself, even though I'd been practicing good ball security. I just had several guys ripping on it while I was being stood up, and I didn't hang on. There was no excuse for it. Whether I thought I was doing well on good ball security or not, it wasn't good enough. To me, and Coach Meyer, I'm sure, it was unacceptable. Very irritating. We hung on to win 21-14, but didn't play very well offensively that day. The whole next week, I worked on ball security drills by myself after practice, trying to make sure what happened in the Georgia game that Saturday didn't happen again. and I worked to hold on to the ball with as much force as I possibly could. That next week, I heard that the coaches debated playing me even more since we weren't playing our best on offense, but it was decided, instead, to stick with the approach we'd followed so far. Chris Leak still started in our game at Vanderbilt, of course, but I did play a little more, and it went well, including a 30-yard run. Early on, things were clicking on offense, even to the point where, after one touchdown, Butchie Rowley, our holder on extra points and field goals, after fumbling the snap for the extra point after a touchdown, just picked it up, looked into the end zone, and completed a pass for a 2-point conversion. After a while, though, we stopped moving the ball effectively, and they mounted a comeback, scoring 13 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. Chris struggled, throwing 3 interceptions on the day, totally out of character for him. Toward the end of the game, having just scored, Vandy lined up for an onside kick, still sitting on the short end of a 25-19 score. I was out there on the hands team, too, to make sure we recovered the onside attempt, and I was able to cover the kick along with Dallas Baker. It was similar in some ways to the Georgia game of the week before, in that we found a way to get an ugly win over a team that was overmatched. The day after the game, Robbie called. It was a call I knew could come at any time, but I still wasn't ready for what he told me. It was so hard to hear that our beloved, faithful, and protective Otis had died. The limp had gotten better over time, but he had cancer and was 13 years old. Because of football, I couldn't go home to help bury him. He was a great dog and a great friend. Robbie buried him down by the lake on the farm. Otis was an incredibly tough loss, and it was even more difficult because I was away from home. In general, it had been getting easier to be at school. Much like things on the field, school had also been going well. It was my first time away from home, but it had been a good experience. I was attending several churches and hadn't settled into any particular one. I was staying busy, which probably helped with the transition. When I came to the University of Florida, I was tested for my dyslexia, and because of it, I was allowed time and a half to take all my exams. I used that extra time my freshman year and carried a 4.0. I'm not sure how necessary it was, however, as I was usually able to read and process most of the questions in the allotted time, and having 50% additional time didn't seem to make any answers that I didn't know come to mind. In fact, it invariably made me late to my next class, so by the end of my freshman year, I'd quit taking the extra time I was allowed. Football-wise, we were in the middle of a tough streak. We were winning, but we weren't playing very well, and so we weren't really entertaining any serious thoughts that we were on our way to anything truly special that year. We were still focused on getting to the SEC championship game and winning that. But even in that commitment, I don't think we were very confident or excited about any other opportunities, like the national championship, which we hoped might be in our future. There were a number of one-loss teams log-jammed around the country, and they were all playing pretty well. We were just barely hanging on in games, and then ending up on the good side of the score. Except for Auburn, of course. It just seemed as though it was going to take something special to really fire us up and get the juices flowing again. When South Carolina and the old ball coach Steve Spurrier visited the Swamp, things didn't change much. As the game wore on, it became clear that the South Carolina game made it 4 in a row in which we still weren't playing very well. Other than a second quarter touchdown, our hopes of moving the ball regularly against South Carolina's man coverage just didn't pan out like we'd expected, although Chris Leak had one of his best games of the year. He passed for 258 yards that day. And in that performance, he passed Danny Werfel to become the all-time passing leader in Gators history. Still tied at 7 early in the fourth quarter, the coaches called a play for me on third and short yardage to try and get the first down. It was a fake run, rollout, in which I was to hit fullback Billy Latsko in the flat near the side of the field. I overthrew him by about a foot too high, and despite that, Billy made a great effort to make the catch, but I had overthrown him by too much. We had to punt, which was very frustrating and indicative of the way the game was going. South Carolina took the lead, 16-10, with 8 minutes to go. We blocked the extra point, and with 4 minutes left, we started what seemed like it could turn out to be our final drive of the game. We faced a 4th-and-2 from our own end of the field. They might have been able to run the clock out if we didn't get the first down to be able to keep the ball and keep the drive alive. We called 97 Q power. For a brief moment, I saw nothing but daylight on the play, but then a guy crashed into me from the side. Despite that, we gained enough for the first down and kept the ball. We kept moving down the field, and eventually we had the ball at South Carolina's 12-yard line. We needed a touchdown. Coach Mullen called a run play for me, and after I hit the hole right up the middle that our line had opened, I jump-stepped over their safety at the 5-yard line like a hurdler, dashing in for the score. The extra point was good, and we led 17-16. South Carolina still had time to move the ball and try and get into field goal range. And move the ball they did. They eventually got down to our 31-yard line and, facing a 4th down with a few seconds left in the game, lined up for a 48-yard attempt for the win. By that point, I was praying full time. We were holding hands on the sidelines, and when Ryan Sukup went into the set to try the kick, I just closed my eyes. I didn't want to watch. I was just praying and praying. I don't think my prayers were particularly rational and well thought out, but more like, if you let us win this game, I will do as much as I can to honor you. Truth be told, I should, and hope I would, do the same thing if Sukup hit it 65 yards dead center perfect to beat us. To be honest, in that moment, I don't even know exactly what I was praying. I was just praying. I know it sounds dumb to be praying over a football game, but if you've ever watched a close football game, then you've almost certainly seen one or two guys with their heads bowed during the closing seconds. I'm not sure God is into who wins or loses. He probably is more concerned with what you do in the process and what you will do with either result to glorify Him and change the world by hopefully impacting one life. But since my parents raised me to pray about anything that's on my heart, I pray, even if some of those things are trivial in the overall scheme of things. I had my eyes closed. We were holding hands and praying when all of a sudden I heard the crowd erupt. I later learned that Jarvis Moss blocked his 2nd kick of the day, preventing a crushing loss and securing a spot for us in the SEC championship. I opened my eyes to see Tony Joyner running to get the ball, and I realized from where he picked it up that it must have been blocked. The bench unloaded as we all just ran out onto the field. We celebrated for a long time on the field, a lot longer it seemed than ever before. The next day in our meetings, Coach Meyer had a video guy grab a clip off YouTube from one of the fans to show us how crazy the game was from the fans' perspective. The whole team was sitting there, stunned, thinking, "Wow. This is crazy. This is exciting. For us to clinch the SEC Eastern Division and, with it, a trip to Atlanta to play in the SEC Championship game against Arkansas was just another part of the dream of being there. There were some great memories for every one of us, and I was glad to be a part of it. Chris's record-setting performance, Jarvis's two blocked kicks, and personally, that fourth down. Then later running through that huge hole opened by our guys so we could score the go-ahead touchdown. At that moment, we were only thinking about our goal of winning the SEC championship. We were all pretty sure that Southern Cal and Ohio State would end up playing in the national championship game. Our 62-0 win over Western Carolina that next week wasn't the most exciting one for the fans that year, but I got to play the second half and really enjoyed it. Coach Meyer let me make checks at the line and call audibles and didn't really restrict me when we were winning. He just let me go ahead and play. There would be no overlooking Florida State to focus on the SEC championship game for me, or for anyone else on the team. I grew up really not liking FSU. I had vivid memories of them beating us and ending Florida's undefeated season on Thanksgiving weekend of 1996 in Tallahassee. But then I remembered how nice it was when Florida returned the favor the next year in Gainesville. Oh, and who can ever forget that the Gators' only national championship at that point came in a Sugar Bowl blowout over Florida State in January of 1997, just 5 weeks after that heartbreaking regular season defeat. It was close at the start of the game, and as is often the case with this rivalry, neither team was able to sustain any lasting momentum or advantage. We got the ball at our 1 yard line, and they put me in to try to punch the ball out to give us some breathing room so at least we'd have room to punt. We called a power play, and no one touched the nose guard. He came through scot-free and met me about 2 yards deep in the end zone. My brain was screaming that I couldn't take a safety. I think the score was tied at the time, 7-7. I was thinking, I will not be the reason Florida ever loses to Florida State. I hit him with all I had and began driving him forward, thinking, no, no, I can't take a safety. Later on, when we reviewed the film, it was pretty neat to watch my obvious determination. I'm driving him so hard that you can see his knees just snap back and he ends up flat on his back. I got the ball to the half-yard line, barely out of the end zone, but out. It wasn't the breathing room the coaches were hoping for with a loss of a half-yard, but it was back out of the end zone, and it really wasn't a big play to the average fan or most people watching, but it was something that the coaches took the time to praise me on and then played it again the next day when we watched the film as a full team. Otherwise, I didn't get a lot of plays in the FSU game. I got a few short yardage plays and was able to help out on most of those. I did run one counter play where I kind of broke outside for about 4 yards and then spun back inside and was met by Lawrence Timmons, a senior linebacker who was drafted by the Steelers the following April. Bad idea. It's not always good to spin back to the inside, because there are a lot of guys coming through that area. We continued to drive down, and Chris hit Dallas Baker on a fade route to the corner of the end zone to win the game. Reggie Nelson dominated the game for us on defense. We won 21-14. Our defense played well, and it was just more of the same story of that year. It wasn't always pretty, but we survived and somehow came away with a win. With FSU behind us, the next and biggest hurdle came against No. 8 Arkansas in the SEC championship game. Going into the game, we were ranked 4th in the country, but Ohio State, No. 1, had already finished their season, and USC, No. 2, was a heavy favorite to beat UCLA that same day to finish their season and earn the right to meet Ohio State in the Bowl Championship Series, BCS, National Championship Game in January of 2007 in Glendale, Arizona. During warm-ups, we were quite focused, and as the game got underway, we jumped on them early in the second quarter. Chris scored on a called running play, and our defensive scheme was awesome and executed to perfection to shut down Darren McFadden and Felix Jones. We took a 17-7 lead into halftime when Coach Meyer dropped the bombshell news on us. UCLA had just beaten USC 13-9. If we took care of business, we could very well be playing for the national championship. Arkansas, however, had different plans, and in the second half, they came back to take the lead from us. After that, the game was back and forth. Clinging to a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter, we drove the ball down to Arkansas's 5-yard line, at which point Coach put me in for a play that we had practiced all that week. I faked a handoff, then faked running toward the line of scrimmage, and then pitched it back to Bubba Caldwell, who had circled back from his wideout position. Bubba then threw a pass to Tate Casey, who was wide open in the end zone, and that put the game away. Our defense did a great job all game, but especially after that. We were able to run the ball, methodically move it, and just manage the clock for the rest of the game. As time remaining wound down, the coaches put me in to run the clock out. I ran a few yards here and there on various plays, power right, counter left, counter right, power left. Just kept doing that over and over, and in those runs, with great blocking up front, we were able to seal the game. We won the 7th SEC title in Florida history by a score of 38-28. The next day, we learned that we had leapfrogged number 3 Michigan and would end up playing undefeated number 1 Ohio State in the BCS National Championship game. I don't think anyone can explain the BCS system exactly, but I do know that it worked to our benefit over Michigan that year, and at that moment, I had no complaints about the BCS. As you would expect, my whole family, except for Katie and her husband Gannon, who were too close to her due date to travel, went to Glendale, Arizona for the BCS National Championship game and had a great time touring and visiting the area, while my time was pretty much occupied by practice and game-related activities. I wasn't particularly nervous. I was excited, but that energy came from hoping I would play a lot. Although we felt we were ready, you never know how you will perform after a month without playing a game. And sure enough, the game started with Ted Ginn Jr.'s running the opening kickoff back to the house. Touchdown, Ohio State. There we were, down 7-0 before we could even catch our breath after warm-ups. Not how we wanted to start after hearing for 5 weeks about how much better Ohio State was than we were. We were sick of hearing that. We were ready to hit somebody. After watching the film, we didn't think they were very fast, and we were going to gain a speed advantage with guys like Bubba Caldwell and Percy Harvin. To those who thought they would be more physical than us, we could all remember back to the mat drills and Coach Mick, and we knew we were going to show not just Ohio State, but all the pundits and prognosticators just how physical we could be. That was our mentality going in, but the opening kickoff seemed to validate what others had been saying, but only for about 8 seconds. Instead of folding, we took their kickoff and marched the ball right down the field. Then Chris threw a touchdown pass to Dallas Baker to tie the game at 7 apiece. That got the momentum on our side. I ran once during that drive and a couple of times on the next possession after our defense forced Ohio State to punt after 3 plays. We scored on that drive as well to take a 14-7 lead. Our defense was shutting them down. We were blitzing everybody and often, bringing a bunch of guys at a time. I doubt they had ever seen a defense with that much speed. We were shutting them down from every angle. We added to our lead, and then with a few minutes left to go in the second quarter, And with us already ahead 27-14, we forced a turnover. Chris then completed a few passes, got down to the one-yard line, when they called another one of my plays. It was a play where I motioned Bubba Caldwell across, running behind the line, catch the snap, fake a power run, and boot to the left. Marcus Freeman, their outstanding linebacker, was right there and ran into the hole, thinking I was running. Then when I pulled up and went to boot outside, I could almost hear him, and I was sure I could see him mouth, "Uh-oh." Bubba was wide open for the pass I threw. Another touchdown, and we led 34-14 at the half. The second half, I got to play even more, running the ball to run the clock down. In the meantime, our defense never let Ohio State get into the game. Midway through the fourth quarter, we got near the goal line again, and they put me in on a 4th-and-1. I had lobbied hard to go in. I remember standing in Coach Meyer's line of sight, probably unnecessary given the volume of my voice, yelling, "I'll score! I'll score!" I scored, finishing with one touchdown passing and one touchdown running. More important, we won the second national championship in school history, 41-14. Chris played very well and was named MVP of the BCS National Championship game. Well deserved. I was happy for him, a senior, ending it on a good note. That first night after the game, we had a lot of fun, enjoyed just hanging out with everybody, celebrating a long year's work. We flew back, and those flights are really just the best. I hate flying. Imagine those long flights to the Philippines, but after a game like that, you look forward to those flights. There's something about being together, celebrating and reflecting on all you accomplished together after all the work you put in. You just can't help but enjoy it, whether you like to fly or not. Upon returning to Gainesville, we had the Gator celebration in the swamp at UF after that. And to be able to watch everything and see the thousands of fans gathered and be with them was remarkable. I remember how familiar it all seemed because growing up, I had a DVD of the 1996 National Championship year, which I watched all the time. I remembered Coach Spurrier had everyone chanting, "We're number one!" Now, that was us. And just think, in just 3 short months from that day in Glendale, Arizona, Coach Billy Donovan and our University of Florida men's basketball team would defeat the Ohio State University men's basketball team in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, to again win the national championship in basketball, and, in doing so, to become the first basketball team in 15 years to win back-to-back national championships. That spring, the University of Florida was clearly number one.